Overture, Make It Stop. Am I crazy? Am I alone? My thumb hovered over the send button as my hands shook and my lips quivered. That night, I wanted to wave some sort of white flag, surrendering myself to the wisdom of a close friend. Typing each letter felt like its own feat. I wanted to know that I was not alone or going mad, because both of those felt like a reality to me. Doubt, disillusionment, anger, fear, sadness, and panic were plaguing my heart and my perspective. Anxiety was literally killing me. My sleep was gone. I couldn't eat. My head felt like it was going to explode while my blood pressure plummeted. It was as if my heart was too weak to even pump. I would lay awake at night, soaking my pillow with tears, longing for the anxiety to go away. I would repeatedly pray, no, beg, God, please make it stop. I know good and well what it feels like when anxiety tries to kill you. If I'm fully honest, there have been times when I wish it would have taken me out just to get the pain to stop. I've paced the floor in the middle of the night. I've curled up in an empty bathroom stall, choking back tears and trying to keep my stomach from crawling out of my throat. I've told God that I thought it would be more merciful of Him to take my life than to leave me alive. You can imagine what this kind of anxiety did to my beautiful bride, Molly, and to my close friends, who knew the real arena I was fighting in and day out. My earliest memory of anxiety in my life, now looking back, is when I was called worrywart as a kid. I seemed to easily get preoccupied with worst-case scenarios. The things I loved the most were the very things I was anxious about most often. Losing my family, losing my calling, even losing my salvation, these were all veins of thought that could consume my mind if I let them. I covered any anxiety by pushing my life to the max, overloading my schedule, accomplishing as much as possible, and keeping a sunshiny smile. It wasn't until my adult years that I realized anxiety was more of a permanent resident in my life. It had claimed squatter's rights by simply hanging out for a long time and only causing a ruckus at a few prominent points along the way. For the most part, I just shunned the emotion, not giving it much thought or attention. A few years ago, I went through my worst personal trial. The smile faded, the veneer of busyness was failing me, and my body was showing signs of physical stress. That, and the fact that my 5-year-old daughter Gracie, who was acting just like I did at her age, anxious about everything, clued me into the fact that anxiety was a lifelong squatter. One day I was holding Gracie on the couch and a wave of anxiety started to crash over me. Not wanting her to know it, but not able to keep it in, I audibly whispered, "Lord Jesus, help." Gracie heard it, and later, in the midst of her own heightened anxiety, she asked Molly, "Mom, what's wrong with Dad?" Later on, as Molly recounted our daughter's question and how it bothered her, I realized that anxiety was real in my life. But that was only the beginning. It was as if finally calling out the squatter emotionally gave it all the more permission to invade and claim what it didn't rightfully own. Over the next few years, I experienced my fair share of cry sessions on my counselor's couch. I had my late night or mid-Saturday afternoon calls with a biblical counselor to help me just pull it together enough to be the pastor I needed to be the next morning, or the dad I wanted to be to play catch with my son that afternoon. Anxiety and depression are real emotions that God allows me to feel. I've begged Him to take both away, but yet they still seem to remain. No matter the eviction notices, they move right back in. I resolved that these emotions show me where I need to find Christ more in my life. I still placate my pain at times with a busy schedule. Yes, I still have my moments of tingly, sweaty palms or shortness of breath. But I've learned that a good, loving, and sovereign God allows these emotions in my life so I may be more dependent on Christ. For the most part, my crutches are now removed, and the false gospels or coping mechanisms are replaced with a real love and dependency on Jesus. I cringe now when I hear people give anxiety advice like go squeeze an ice cube between your fingertips or count your breaths for a minute, because those aren't going to help me find the end of my anxiety. I'm allergic to false hope and faulty theology. If I don't have real help for my anxiety, then I know it will just keep coming back and wreaking havoc on my life. So please know that I will not use this audiobook to build some kind of scaffolding around your life trying to prop up your mental health like an inevitable house of cards. Rather, I want you to realize that when you are broken into pieces on the solid rock of Jesus, the feelings that overwhelm you for a moment fade in the eternal light of His glory. The caveat of all caveats: could this really be the end of anxiety? In addition to being a man who has struggled with anxiety and seeing God's help and hope through it, I am also a pastor and a certified biblical counselor. I've served in several pastoral roles in Denver and Chicago, two of which have been as senior pastor. I'm currently the senior pastor of Grace Chapel in Denver, Colorado. My primary passion is to apply the practical power of Jesus Christ to everyday life. I do this by pastoring, preaching, writing, and biblically counseling others. I've started two biblical counseling centers, including one that I currently oversee called the Hope of Denver Biblical Counseling Center. We provide free counseling to our church and to our community because I want people to know the power of Jesus to help them with any problem they may face. The guidance you'll find in this book will deal with the biblical prescription for anxiety, fear, worry, and panic. I'm not a medical doctor, but I do believe there is a role for them in our lives. I believe the Bible has a lot to say about the whole person, not just the soul. Yet it may be right for you to seek the common grace of medical advice and care for your outer self while we deal with the deeper inner self. 2 Corinthians 4:16. There may be a need for you to deal with things chemically or physically. There may be a need for you to deal with things chemically or physically, and I encourage you to do so if that's appropriate. I just won't be addressing it specifically in this book. The truths of the Bible are not supposed to minimize or dismiss the struggles we face. We do not reduce the scriptures to something like, take these Bible verses like Advil, get some rest, and you'll be better by morning. Feelings of depression and anxiety can and will haunt people for long seasons of life, or even an entire life. But in our weakness, the power of God can be recognized as a true healing salve and not just a superficial cover-up. I don't want this to disappoint you or mislead you, so stick with me for a second. The title of this book is a play on words. Please know that I don't assume you can find the end of your anxiety, but I do believe we can find something better than simply making the madness stop. The end of our anxiety is not merely the ceasing of it, rather it is finding the power of God within it. I am setting out on this journey with you to prove my hypothesis, which is that the end or the purpose of our anxiety is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I do believe that you can enter into a sort of emotional and spiritual remission of anxiety if you will apply the principles we will unpack along the way. However, I am not God, so I cannot promise it will ever end your anxiety completely. It is only God's decision as to whether the thorn of our anxiety, or any suffering for that matter, will ever be taken from us. Yet, if we trust Him and grow in the likeness of His Son as we battle these emotions, we are indeed finding God's end of anxiety. Anxiety is the great bully of our emotions. It pummels our soul and leaves us sapped of energy and hope. There's one truth it doesn't want us to entertain, let alone see for ourselves, and that is, anxiety is a liar. Even if anxiety tells you it will win, it won't. While it is a brutal bully, anxiety is still an emotion under the sovereign hand of God and never outside of His control. The seasons when anxiety has been the worst in my life are the seasons when I have allowed it to be the loudest. I will never forget being in a room with my biblical counselor, my dad, and an elder from our church. I didn't eat for days before that moment, and I had to keep a lozenger in my mouth just to keep it moist. I dreaded that day, and frankly, I hated that whole season. We were wading deep into the situation that had caused me the greatest panic when my biblical counselor said to me in the calmest voice possible, "I'm disappointed you did not run to God's word first. You know better." He was right. I did know better. I was running to 1,000 other things to find comfort, but I wasn't allowing the Bible to be the security blanket of truth I so desperately needed. I knew the Bible would bring comfort. For crying out loud, I preached that principle over and over again. Yet that's where anxiety is a liar and a bully in my life. Keeping me from feasting on faith, it robs me of my joy and the courage that comes from the saving power of Christ, and it tells me that everything I know to be true is actually false. The psalmist David came to his senses at some point, shrugging off his anxiety and running to God for joy. He wrote in Psalm 94, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." Psalm 94, 19. NIV. When I was first starting to deal with anxiety, I wish I could have said the same thing as the psalmist. However, it wasn't until anxiety broke me for good that I realized the only way to conquer it was by leaning into the power of God's word. I have anxiety. Or better said, anxiety has had me. My prayers asking God to eradicate my anxiety for good have been frequent and repetitive. Just when I think I may have found the end of anxiety, it seems to pop back up like an evil clown, igniting chaos in my heart once again. It's clear that anxiety clings to me far more tightly than I would ever wish. One morning, I was meeting with a pastor friend of mine for breakfast. I had just finished telling him about my most recent bout of 4 long months with anxiety. As I finished, it was as if we were swapping big fish stories. He chimed in, "You think that was bad? Let me tell you about my anxiety a few years ago." And on his story went, and I realized a few things, but 2 things worth mentioning. 1, I'm not alone. 2, I'm not crazy. As he neared the end of his story, confessing that anxiety was a frequent visitor for him too, he stated, "I had to stop praying, God make it stop." He paused before adding, "What if we were asking for the wrong thing? God make it stop. Maybe that's the wrong prayer." He went on to explain that "God make it stop" seems to be the most logical prayer for us to ask of a loving God. But what if God's will is to use the anxiety we face to make us more like Christ? He boldly asserted, "Josh, stop praying for God to make it stop and start praying for God to make you more like Christ." He was right. I had the end all wrong. The end goal of all this madness is to make me more like Christ. I need to pray for that end way more than I need to pray for my anxiety to end. I wanted my panic to cease, but perhaps I was defining the end by my terms, not God's terms. His purpose, even in my suffering, will always be better than simply a lack of suffering. I can endure all things, including paralyzing emotions or dramatic physical reactions, if I know that all of this will help me love God more and become more like His Son Christ. Anxiety may be a pesky, persistent pressure in your life, but what if you allowed your faith in God to be more relentless than any other overwhelming emotion? In the end, my friend did text me back. He said, "You're not crazy. You're not alone. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In the end, my friend did text me back. He said, "You're not crazy. You're not alone. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So now it's my turn to say to you, you are not alone. You are not crazy. Let's go find God's chief end for anxiety. We're on this journey together.